human realm, the human life, what we have now. And we've done the ones of the lower realms. So now there's the unsatisfactory conditions of the realms that are higher than human beings. And these are, the Sanskrit term is suras and asuras. It's sometimes translated as gods and demigods, or gods and titans, or celestial beings, and, you know, I don't know. There's different ways of translating, okay? The reason that these beings are said to have a be higher than human beings is not done in the sense of their opportunity to practice the Dharma, because actually they have less opportunity than we do to practice. But it's done in the sense that they have higher sense pleasure than we do, those that are in the desire realm, and those that are in the form and formless realms, where you get born there by the power of your concentration, they are considered higher realms because they have abandoned the attachment to the desire realm. The desire realm is all the realms where you're involved with your senses. You know, seeking, having lots of desire for sense pleasures. And these beings have, you know, temporarily suppressed that desire, but they haven't gotten rid of all attachment. Yeah, so they still have attachment to the bliss of their concentration. So, nevertheless, it's still called higher realms, you know, from these points of view. So, is that clear? Are people with me? Okay. Now, when we talk about the lifestyles of these other beings, you know, especially the gods and the demigods. By the way, the term gods can be, sometimes it refers to these desire realm gods that have the super duper sense pleasure, but also included in the god realm are all these beings who are in the form and formless realm because of their levels of concentration. Okay? So the word god can include both these gods that have a lot of attachment to sensual thing and the gods in the form and formless realm. Okay? So, the way, according to ancient Indian cosmology, okay, remember, you know, we have Mount Meru in the center and then the four continents around, and the human beings live on the continents around there. And the gods and the demigods live on Mount Meru. Okay? Now, the thing is that there's, like, you know, some layers of, you know, like some settlements on the lower part of Mount Meru, and then some settlements on the top part. And as usual, the ones on the top that have the better view have more steps, you know. And the thing is that the ones on the lower, these are the demigods, you know, since they don't have quite the high status that the gods do, they're incredibly jealous. Yeah? So it's like the people who live in, I mean, Seattle, it's not quite like LA, you know. It's like the people who live, LA is different, you know. It's like there's the people who live in Beverly Hills, and then there's the people who live kind of in, around Beverly Hills, and that's like the god realm and the demigod realm, okay? Because Beverly Hills is like the god realm, and then the others, it's like you wish you could be up there, but you're not, so you're really jealous of them, and you compete a lot. So the gods and the demigods spend a whole lot of time fighting and quarreling, okay? And a lot of this is instigated by the demigods because they're so jealous. And, of course, they have very good reasons for this, and that is that the trees that grow in the god realms and bear all these incredible, delicious fruit, the roots are in lower on Mount Meru, in the land owned by the demigods. So they say, look, the roots are in our place, so we should get part of the fruit. And the gods say, forget it, you know, the fruit grows in our place, it's ours, you know, take us to court if you want. So they spend a good deal of their life quarreling over all of this. And especially the demigods, you know. It's like the gods don't suffer quite as much from the quarreling, because anyway they have a better vantage point. They're on the top of the mountain. And the demigods, you know, even though they have an upper realm, they have incredible, so much more sense pleasure than we do. But because they're not as good as the gods, they can't even enjoy what they have, and they just kind of burn with the fire of jealousy all the time. I mean, we laugh and everything, but can you find that part of you that's a demigod? Yeah? That part that's just so jealous of everybody and everything, you know, has better than, you know, they're more talented than we are, they have higher status than we are, they get paid more money than we do, they have a nicer house, they're more beautiful, they're more athletic, you know, this kind of incredible jealousy. So no matter how good you are, can't enjoy what you have, always quarreling with other people. Yeah, exactly. Great meditation on this. You know, they meditate on being jealous. Yeah. Oh, is that what you're saying? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the suffering, you know, the reason why we don't want to seek rebirth in a demigod realm is, even though it's nice, you know, you're just there completely permeated by your jealousy. And so even though you have good things, can't enjoy it, so much pain from the jealousy. So you see, going through all the different sufferings and unsatisfactory circumstances in all these different realms, it's to help us see that no matter where we might get reborn in samsara, there's no happiness. You know, there's no lasting happiness. And so by the process of eliminating one realm after another as a possible haven, you know, and a possible desirable place to be reborn, eventually we come to the conclusion there is no place, so therefore I want to get out of cyclic existence. I want to determine to free myself from this mess, because wherever I'm reborn, it's the pits. Okay? So the demigods suffer from jealousy and constant warfare, battle, bitterness, you know, sending their young people off to fight, you know, for the fruits of this tree that are higher up, and they, of course, get killed and so on. And then the gods, you know, the gods that are, you know, kind of on the lower, upper part of, you know, it's like you're in Beverly Hills, but not far within the city limits, you know. So they spend a lot of time fighting with the demigods, too. Then as you go up and up, you know, eventually there's certain god realms that are above Mount Meru. They float in space. So these guys are like the ones who lived in the lock communities. Nobody else can get to them and cause problems. So it's according, you know, to your level of good karma and your prayers and stuff like this, that you get born either on the upper levels of Mount Meru or in these god realms that float in space, where there they aren't bothered by these, you know, obnoxious asuras who are always fighting with them. And the thing is with the god realms, they say, just imagine, you know, complete sense deluxe pleasure. You know, when you think of food, you don't have to cook the food. You know, the way it grows on the trees, it's just automatically prepared. And, you know, there's no pesticides. There's no pollution. You don't, the fruit doesn't have peels. You know, it doesn't have skin and it doesn't have pits. So you can just pull it off the tree, you know, completely organic. No skin. Nothing, you know. No seeds on the inside. You bite into it and you just, you know, there it is. Okay? And then the ground is made it's like all these beautiful parks and meadows and things like that. You know, no danger of forest fires. No arsonists setting, you know, fire to their different mansions there. It's just, you know, complete, you know, it's like what everybody in America is really trying to get. They have, except better. Yeah? And then the outside, you know, the ground is made of jewels and, you know, golden sidewalks, and everything's glittery and beautiful and harmonious, and, you know, the wind blows through the trees and you hear beautiful music and, you know, beautiful scents just kind of come naturally, and from, you know, whatever you walk by, and all the people are beautiful, you know. I mean, nobody's deformed, nobody's handicapped, nobody's ugly, nobody has to dye their hair, nobody has to go to the gym. Everybody is just completely, you know, they're beautiful. And so it's just all wonderful. And they say that they have, you know, just all the girlfriends and boyfriends they want, you know. So it's like nobody's going to write an article in the newspaper if you sleep with somebody else's husband or wife, you know. It's just kind of, you know, kind of all over the place, and everything's just wonderful. And everybody looks great, you know, like I said. And so while you're alive, and they have really long lifespans too, okay? So nobody has to, you know, take lots of vitamins to stay young and things like that. The problem is that while it's really wonderful while you're alive, 7 days before you die, it's like everything all of a sudden starts to deteriorate. You know, you live this incredibly long life where everything is just magnificent and perfect. And then the last 7 days, they say that the mental pain experienced by the gods is worse than the experience in the hells. Okay? Because imagine living in this, I mean, this wonderful, lush thing. And then, 7 days before you die, your body starts to deteriorate. You know, and all of a sudden you get old and you get wrinkled and your hair falls out and it turns colors and your body starts to smell and you're lying in bed and you're just totally ugly. You know, so all these people who loved you so much, who thought you were so marvelous and fantastic and wanted to be around you, all of a sudden they don't want to come within 2 feet of you. Yeah. I mean, just because it's too frightening. It's too scary to them. So that sense of isolation from the people surrounding, you know, that they were close to, who all of a sudden cut them off right before they die when they need them the most. You know, that mental pain of just rejection. And then the pain of watching their own body decay, you know, their own body that they're so attached to because it was so wonderful. It all of a sudden decays, and the mental pain that brings. And then if that isn't enough, then they have karmic visions of their next rebirth. And since, you know, you spent this whole life in, you know, in perfection, the next rebirth is just, you know, imagine going from, you know, this perfect life to see that, you know, in a few days you're going to be reborn in a pit as a pig. Yeah, I mean, it just totally freaks them out. So the pain from all these things, the rejection, the deterioration of the body, the karmic vision of their future rebirth, like I said, they say that pain is worse than being born in the hells. Yeah, simply because of how they've lived their whole lifestyle. So, it's something, you know, to really consider. And I find this really helpful, you know, for whenever our mind gets really dissatisfied and we start wanting, a God realm in our human realm, you know, the mind, if only I had a nicer house, if only I had a nicer car, if only I had a nicer bike, if only I had a nicer boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, cat. You know, that mind that's always wanting more sense pleasure. Yeah. And if you think, well, I have been born as in the God realm before, you know, not just once, but many times. And you sit and you imagine this incredible place and the surroundings and how you felt. And then, you know, the incredible suffering at the end of your life and how, you know, it just ends with a crash. Yeah? And then that really wakes our mind up from, well, what am I doing craving all these things anyway? Yeah? Because even if I get them in this life, they aren't even as wonderful as in the God realm. But then I'm going to have like a mini God realm death. Yeah? When I separate from these things and when people ostracize me after I lose them. And when I look back on my life with regret about how I spent it, because I have an inner intuition about my next rebirth, and it isn't good. Yeah. So this helps a lot, you know, for curing this very craving mind. It also helps for our mind that sometimes wants, you know, just a better rebirth than samsara and is content just with that. Oh, I want to be reborn in the God realm, and that'll be okay. That's what I'm aiming for. Because by seeing the disadvantages of this, it's helping us really generate the wish to be free, even from those upper rebirths. Yeah. And that's very important. It might seem to you funny, you know, well, like, what, you know, if you're doing all this virtue, why in the world would you, you know, want to be reborn in the God realm? Why not just aim it for full enlightenment to start with? But look at our mind. Look at what we usually pray for. Look at what we usually want. You know, when are your most sincere prayers? You know, when you're sick, when you're poor, you know, when something's rotten happened at work, then all of a sudden, you know, our prayers become really powerful because our minds are really still very, very worldly. So we have to completely see, you know, through that facade and not dedicate merit just for upper rebirth like that, but really for full enlightenment. If we dedicate it for full enlightenment, then a good rebirth where we can practice the Dharma will come along as like part of the package. Okay? So this is important to think about. And then also, I've talked a little bit about the different levels of concentration, you know, the four dhyanas or concentration realms, or form realm, and then the four formless concentrations. And also, although the beings there might have a lot of concentration, in the lower form realms, they also have, you know, bodies of light, and it's all very beautiful and things like that. Still, you know, you're born in that kind of situation as long as you have the good karma. And when the karma is exhausted, you know, where do you go? You get reborn in the lower realm again, most likely. And so this is going back to what we were talking about, the overall, the general disadvantages of samsara, is changing status, going up and going down, going up and going down. And so even though in these concentration realms you may have either bliss or equanimity or whatever, still at the end it doesn't last long, your mind's still under the influence of karma and delusion, and you crash down again after you die. Okay, so understanding this, then to not be content just with a good rebirth and really determine to free ourselves of cyclic existence.